Hello, ladies of No BS. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing tonight? I am Coach Lizzie. Let's see. I got participants. I got the chat. All right. Here we are. I got a heart. If anyone could write into the chat and let me know if you can hear me, that would be super. Where are you calling in from? Lisa is here. Jackie's here. Shelly. Great. Hey, Shelly. Nice. Raquel. Oh my goodness. So it's like old friends. Hey everyone, this is so good. Okay, so hello, I'm Coach Lizzie, and we are here with the how to lose 5 pounds this month call. I have thoughts. So I'm gonna share some thoughts, but before I do, I just want to encourage you to please raise your hand because this is a live coaching call, and I would love to talk to you live and do some live coaching. What could be better, right? So it's interesting. This is the end of September and the beginning of October. And so it's a really unique time of year. January is like the new year, but in a way, September and the shift into fall actually can also feel like a lot of a new year. And also, it's almost like the start of a mini year in that you've got the fall season is finishing, and so we've got just a couple months left until the year is up. And so you're like, what could I do in 3 months? October, November, December. What could I do in 90 days? Like, that's not nothing. Now, I want to also say that 90 days includes a lot of holidays. And so if you're like, oh, screw it, I just can't. It's the holiday season. That's a lot of time to just say, oh, screw it. So I want to encourage you to think that there's a lot that you can get done in this next 30 days, in this next season. These next 60 days, 90 days until the end of the year. There's a lot of time left in 2025. What do you want to do with it? And so, the theme tonight, of course, is how to lose 5 pounds this month. And what's so interesting to me when I think about that question, 5 pounds, you could say it's a goal, but part of me wants to say, that's not a goal. Losing 5 pounds is not a goal. It's a result. Losing 5 pounds is an outcome. It is the actions that you do that will create the outcome you want. So, losing 5 pounds this month is an outcome. It is a result. What are the tangible, specific outcomes that are within your control that you can focus on this month to create the outcome you want? 5 pounds sounds a lot. I get it. Also, I want to say every single pound, whether you want to lose 5 or 10 or 50 or 100, every pound is lost the same way, 1 pound at a time. So, I would encourage you to think about what are the tangible action steps, or even like, what is the shift in my mindset that will help me lose 1 pound this week, 1 pound this month? Every pound is lost the same way. And so before, whoa, Janet hit a new decade this morning. Yeah, Janet. Awesome. We've got Gina's in the house. Mary's here. Great. Okay. Before we get into coaching, I love that we've got some hands raised. Thank you. I want to also say, so like the action steps, what are the action steps that will help you get to the outcome you want? And what does that look like? Stopping at enough, doing the halftime method, serving myself less, skipping snacks. You guys know, I love experiments and I love analogies. If there's anything that I'm known for, it's experiments and analogies. So there's one experiment I tried with a client recently where she was like, my meals are pretty good. It's the snacking. And I was like, the difference between weight loss and maintaining is a difference between enough and full. And a lot of times we think we're eating to enough, we're actually eating to full. And the crazy thing is, if you check out the doable hunger chart, the difference between eating to enough and the difference to eating to full is like 2 or 3 bites. Full is like, I know I ate something. I probably could have lived without those last 2 or 3 bites. Enough, and this is part of why it's so tricky, is it feels like almost nothing. I'm not hungry. I'm not full. I'm not. I'm at enough. So anyway, this experiment that I did with this client, we decided if snacking is her challenge, we're like, why don't you just count up the number of bites of snacks each day and see where you land? And some snacks were like, well, it's like a half a meal because I only eat 2.5 meals. And some snacks were the kind of the grab ass kind. Either way, it was so useful for her to just be aware of like, oh, sometimes my snacking is kind of grab assy and I'm not hungry. What are the actions that are within your control that could lead to the outcome that you want? Lose 1 pound this week, lose 5 pounds this month. And I also want to talk about mindset. Because so often you can be like, I'm on fire this week. I did so good. I was really working hard and the scale didn't move, or the scale went down 0.4 pounds, or the scale went up. WTF. How many conversations have I had just this week with clients about the scale? And I will have conversations with clients at all different weights who are like, I just need to get to the next decade and then I'll be happy. Which is evidence that it is not the number that makes you happy. But I would say your brain is so good at looking for the problems. Your brain will find the problems. That's what it does. Thanks to negativity bias. And it's almost like, think about being at the wheel of a car. You're driving a car. Your brain is the car. And if you're just like letting go of the wheel, and you're like, I got the gas. I'm hitting the gas. And like, we'll see what happens. The car eventually is going to run into a ditch or drive through someone's yard and into a pool. Like, if you're not driving, your car, your brain is going to find a problem. It's going to find a ditch. In other words, your brain will come up with the thoughts like, this never works for me. I always regain my weight. What's the point? It will come up with those thoughts. That is you. With your hands on the wheel, hands not on the wheel, saying, I don't know, I was just driving and it kind of randomly went into a ditch. You need to be at the wheel of your brain. You need to steer your brain on purpose. And it's so interesting because I love that I had the chance to do this call today because just today I was asking Corinne about her thoughts. After she lost her weight, but she was now in maintenance. And like, did old shitties come up? Did she have regains? How did she handle it? And she gave a great explanation. And if you're in the maintenance group, I made a post about it in the maintenance group. But it was so amazing. All the things that she talked about. Basically, she was like, yes, of course I had old shitties. But what I did was instead of making the scale the problem, I looked at what was an actionable step I could take. Hello, once again, the scale is the result. The actions are within your control. And so what she's saying is, I didn't worry about the scale. That's the result. I worried about my actions. And yes, of course she had old shitties. And one thing that she said as well was, and I'm going to quote this, she said, I don't just expect those old thoughts to go away. She was like, even today, I still have old shitties come up. The difference is I've gotten really good at moving through them in a couple of minutes, and then I get into action rather than in rumination. And she said, I don't expect those old thoughts to go away. Why? Because they serve a purpose. Your crappy thoughts serve a purpose. Are you listening? She said, they are the thoughts that are signaling, hey, this is important to me. And that's why I'm here. Your weight loss is important to you, and that's why old shitty is there. It is not a problem, it's a signal. And then this was incredible that she said this. She said, I think when you have a healthy respect for your shitty thoughts, it's so much easier to navigate them. Right? Anybody else's mind exploding? What if you could look at your old shitty thoughts and look at them as friends, as like signals, this is important to me? I can give this thought respect because it's saying, hey, hello, signal, this is important to me. How do I want to grab the wheel of my brain and direct this old shitty thought in a positive direction rather than let it, derail me into a ditch? Okay, so those are some of my thoughts today. I would love to hear what you think about those comments. And also, we're going to get some coaching going up here. We've got Jane and then Trina. And anybody else who wants to coach, we'll get it on. All right. Just checking out the chat. Also, by the way, if you have any questions, type them into the Q&A. Mary Catherine is liking that we focus on action. Carolyn's asking, can you say the last quote again? For sure. Let me pull it back up. It was, I think when you have a healthy respect for your shitty thoughts, it is so much easier to navigate them. And so basically, she's saying that your shitty thoughts are signals that your weight loss is important to you. And it's basically saying it's like an indicator light rather than a problem. It's an indicator to grab the wheel of your brain and be like, where do I want to take this on purpose? Cool. All right. Hey, Jane, you are currently muted.
Still muted. Hi.
Hi, thank you.
Oh
Hi.
my gosh. Thank you for calling on me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Me too, Jane. It's great to meet you. How you doing?
Good to meet you too. I'm doing well.
Excellent. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. So what is on my mind tonight is that I am having a recurring pattern come up, and my accountability group and I have been going through the self-sabotage course as well. And it's something I have been working on within that course. I seem to get into this pattern where I have 1 week where I do really well. All of my data looks really, really good. It's really on point. And then the next week, it's like everything falls apart.
Okay.
And when I look through my trackers, like in previous months, like this is not a new trend. This is something that seems to keep repeating itself. And the scale is still moving down in general, though I don't think this is going to be a weight loss month. It's just that I feel like it feels like I'm slamming down on the gas and then slamming on the brake over and over and over again. And I kind of don't, I'm kind of hitting a wall and I don't know what to do about it.
First, I want to just normalize what you're experiencing. Like, that is so normal and so understandable, and it's so frustrating, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a good week, and then it feels like the next week is just off the rails. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, on those weeks when it feels like things are off the rails, what would you say is different? In other words, like, what's the obstacle getting in the way of you doing what you did the previous week?
So when I look at my data, it tends to be things like I'm staying up late or I'm snacking more. For example, like when I look at my data for September, in the first two-thirds of September, I had not been stopping at enough as much as I usually do, and my sleep data had kind of fallen off.
Okay. Was there any sort of indicator that you could point to, like, oh, this is why? Or you're like, I don't know, it was just weird.
So I mean, this month I would say that the indicator is that, I don't know, we're back to school. I started a new job as a music teacher. So I mean, there's like different pressures and stressors that come along with that. I mean, I guess that's kind of what I'm working with there, but I mean, also, I also kind of keep track of my mood, and though there have been stressors, my mood has also been pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So I love that you keep track of your mood. That's great. But yeah, going back to school, starting a new job, that's a lot of change. Even if it's good, even if you're like, hey, this, I like this. This is a great new job. It's still change, and your subconscious mind, your habit brain, if you will, doesn't like change because from the habit brain's perspective, what kept you alive yesterday worked. And so, what will keep you alive tomorrow is the same thing. Even if yesterday was pizza and beer, it's like that worked, let's go. And so, change, just by its very nature, is dangerous to your habit brain. And so, again, it could be good change, but your habit brain is still like, this doesn't feel the same. What's going on? I feel a little bit unsafe. You know what would help me feel safe? Some chocolate after dinner. some, extra eats, some staying up late and scrolling, things like that. It's kind of like, I want to feel safe. I want to feel comforted. And these extra little, extra habits are giving me that little hit of like, it's okay. We can feel a little bit more safe and normal. Even though the change is good, it's still change, and your brain is a little bit weirded out by that.
Yeah.
Does that resonate or not so much?
It does resonate. I guess I don't know. It feels like usually change is so like scary and bad that it's hard to associate even like good change with stress in my brain going into these habits. But if I guess like if I try to relate it to like being on with my kids, I guess. Like, the kids I have, like, my children, not my like students. Like, I definitely, when I feel stressed out with my kids, that's definitely when I want to like stay up late and watch TV late and, snack at night. And I guess that is because I feel like that's my time and I'm entitled to it, and there's nothing and no one competing for my attention.
For sure.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
There's a lot of things going on. Like, number one, you start the day of like, this is a new thing. I'm approaching a new day, a new job. I'm a month in ish, but it's still new and different. So that takes energy, that takes effort. And like, go me. I handled a new job all day, and then I get home and my kids are being kids and they're, not angels. I've used up all my energy earlier today. This is not okay. I need some time for me. And of course, your brain would be like, I want to have some me time, some quiet time. So like put your children to bed so that you can have your space to settle down. Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're seeing a little bit of a pattern. And so when you see a pattern, and for everybody listening, like same thing, like look for patterns. Because when you see a pattern, this is great news. That means you can expect it. And if you can expect a pattern, that means you can predict it. And if you can predict it, you can plan for it. And that counts for whether it's every September, it's back to school, and it feels like, life goes crazy. Okay, you can expect that. Therefore, you can plan it. Or if it's, I'm really good for 3 weeks and then I fall off the wagon, that's a pattern. Okay. If it's a pattern, then it's not weird. It's not unusual. Therefore, you can expect it and it's normal and you can just get back to normal. So, if you were to expect this next week, today's our Tuesday. So, we've got Wednesday through Friday of this coming week. If you were to expect after school, you're like just done and your children are being the little angels that they are, but occasionally want some extra attention or things like that. And you're a little tired after they're taken care of. What's a way? Let me rephrase this. What do you think you really need at night? Like if you're hungry, then it's food. But if you're not hungry, what do you think you really need at night?
I think I need to turn off my brain and do something that I just want to do. But I think definitely turn off my brain. That feels like the first thing that's coming to mind, which is kind of it's a little new because usually at night I'm like, oh, I want to work on this goal and that goal and get this done and that done. But this is very much, I want to zone out. I want to turn off my brain. I want to just have a little time to, I don't know, just entertain myself, but, not be achieving anything, I guess.
For sure. Yeah. And Jane, I want to validate that is a legit need. That's not selfish. That's not indulgent. That's not lazy. It's a need. You have a need to relax, to rest. And that includes turning your brain off. You don't have to feel guilty about it. It does help to plan it because, just like I was talking about earlier, with if like you're not putting your hands on the wheel of your brain will be like, okay, we want to tune out. How do we tune out? The pantry. the fridge,
Oh.
the ice cream. And so I do want you to put your hands on the wheel a little bit of your brain and be like, I want to tune out. What's going to help me meet that need of tuning out? Food is one option, but there's some others. What could be other options?
Watching an episode of a show and then turning the TV off, or setting a timer on my phone to go off when the episode is set to finish, and then turning off the TV when the timer goes off and getting in bed. That feels like a good option. Getting into bed and reading a book, that also feels like a good option. For the internet, for like scrolling on Instagram or something like that, definitely have to try to be more mindful and go into that with a timer as well. A lot of timers seem to be coming to mind.
Okay.
Definitely noticing another pattern there.
All right. Note to self. Yeah, timer's good. Okay. Yeah, I think that there are lots of different ways that you can, and each person's different. So for Sally, it might be knitting. For Susie, it might be a puzzle. For, Trina, it could be scrolling Instagram. There are lots of different ways to tune out. You find the way that works for you, but the really important thing is to do it without guilt. Because if you tune out while feeling guilty, it's like you get zero benefit. A, you don't get to tune out, and B, you don't get stuff done. Because if you're like, oh, I should do the dishes, well, the dishes are not getting done, but meanwhile, you're feeling guilty for not getting done. Like, decide not to do the dishes. Just it's, they're not happening. I'm gonna tone zoom out, to, tune out, zone out. Too many words, and allow myself to do that guilt-free, because again, it is a legit need. Hunger is a need. Comfort is a need. Rest is a need. Turning your brain off is a need. It is not a luxury. It's not lazy. It's a need, and you can meet that need. And food is a legitimate option. But is it one that you want to choose, or do you want to choose other ones first and see how you feel?
I mean, definitely not choosing food first. Like if I know myself, and if I'm eating after dinner, it's like 95% of the time it's got nothing to do with hunger, nothing to do with physical hunger. That's just a fact at this point. I've been doing no BS now, I think, for 17 or 18 months, and I know enough at this point to know that if I'm going into the pantry after dinner, it is, that's a signal that, something is up.
So here's what I would offer you as a suggestion to try. Like I said earlier, like I love experiments. So you could give yourself three or four options of like, here are ways I could tune out at the end of the day. Food is one. Reading a book is one. Scrolling Instagram is one. Jean put in her in the chat that she uses a foot massager. I love that. I've actually found a little mini massage gun is a fantastic way to like physically meet my body where it's at and like help my body let go of some of the anxiousness and stress of the day when my brain is like, I just can't. If the massager like helps the muscles be like, it's okay to relax. So you could have those options and you could say, all right, I'm going to try at least one option before I turn to food, or I'm going to try at least two options before I turn to food. And if I turn to food, I'm gonna, like my reasons, or I'm gonna say it was a moment. I'm gonna, learn from it tomorrow. I'm not gonna shame myself. I'm gonna move on. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that. I mean, so, kind of like a pause plus permission situation,
Yeah.
but the pause is going through one of those options first.
Yep.
I like that.
You know what's funny? I used to have so much like secret shame about listening to and reading like young adult like werewolf books and vampire books and like magician books. And I was like,
Yes,
people
the
admit that they do this. And meanwhile, I'm like so devouring them. Not anymore. I'm like, this is my tune out. I listen to it on my, my earphones while I do a puzzle, and it's like, this is the way I tune out with zero guilt. It's just everybody needs it. It's okay. Yeah.
I do have another question though,
Bring it.
about this topic though. So when I am like taking my data, if I do see these trends of like I had one week where I'm looking and all 7 days I did awesome, and then the following week it's Friday and I'm like, oh no, I haven't done this habit all 5 days now. Do you have any advice about how I could perhaps start lessening the time frame, I guess? I can't think of my words here. I don't know. Now that I'm saying it to you, I'm thinking maybe I need to track my data more frequently. So I'm looking at the data for a week in context of previous weeks, but not like 1 week at a time. That kind
So here's my thought. This is a really good question. So many of us, when we have a quote unquote good week, we lose a
Yeah.
pound, lose weight. I was on my a bunch of check marks on my tracker. We're like, yay, fingers crossed. I hope next week I can do the same. Or, like we hope. And instead of hoping, I would say use a successful week to your advantage. Reflect and be like, okay, I had a good week. Fantastic. If I could boil it down to just two things, I mean, three tops, but probably just two or three. What were the two or three tangible action steps that helped me feel like I had a good week that led to me losing a pound last week? Maybe it was on my drive home from school, I listened to some like soothing music. And so I kind of de-stressed on my way home from work. Maybe it was I took time to connect with the kids before dinner. And so they were kind of more calm. We were all more calm before we had dinner. Dinner was a little later, but we still like it was a worthy sacrifice because we were able to eat dinner calmly. Or I said to my spouse, hey, after dinner, I just want to chill. And would you mind cleaning up after dinner? It would be amazing. And like you gave yourself permission. Figure out what the action steps were. Again, keep them simple. Two, three tops. This is your winning formula. And so that next week, you're like, I don't need to worry about focusing on the four basics and stopping it enough and the halftime method and the thing and the. Be like, all I gotta do is repeat last week. And the two things that helped me last week were one and two. That's all I gotta do. How's that sound?
Sounds manageable. Sounds doable.
Now, and if you have a week where it felt like it went off the rails, and you're like, oh my God, it's been 5 days and I don't have a single check mark. No problem. This is not a problem. This is a signal. And here's the question I want you to ask. What was the obstacle that got in the way of me doing the habits I want to do? So I want you to ask that question instead of saying, what's my problem? Or I just need to do it. That doesn't give you a direction.
Right.
Whereas if you say, what was the obstacle that got in the way? Number one, you are not the obstacle. There was a legitimate thing. It could have been your schedule, could have been stress, could have been traffic. I don't know. Because if you are the obstacle, there's nowhere to go with that. So it's like there is some obstacle. Let's identify it. And
Yeah.
then that gives you a chance to work around it and figure out, okay, how do I move, in a sideways direction to get around this obstacle and work with it rather than just saying, I need to. Work harder when, that just makes you stuck harder.
Yeah.
So, on a good week, examine what are the two things that help me? Keep it really simple. On a week where you weren't so tight with your habits, ask what was the obstacle that got in the way? And then how can I work around it? And of course, bring that to ask coaches. If you're like, Lizzie told me to look for the obstacle and I have no idea, we'll help you.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. So, real quick, what's your new job and do you like it?
So my new job is a preschool music teacher, and I have to say, I love it. I'm having one of those like out of body experiences where I'm like looking down on myself and being like, Really? Really? Do you, is it true that I love this as much as I do? Because it's filling me up in this like joyful way that I was not anticipating that it would. And it just, I don't know, it's making me really happy. So.
Jane, that's just the best. I'm so glad. Yeah, awesome. And also, God bless you for dealing with the preschoolers, which is funny because I used to teach middle schoolers and people would tell me the same thing, like, how do you handle middle schoolers? I was like, oh, I love them. Meanwhile, the preschoolers, I was like, cannot. So,
Oh, that's
anyway,
so
thank you for
funny.
what you do.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Awesome. And for real, if there's ever anything I can help you with, please reach out to me and ask coaches. We are always here for you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time.
You're so welcome. Thanks for raising your hand. All right. Very cool. All righty. We will put Jane back to attendee. We got a couple of questions came into the Q&A, and then we'll get Trina up in a minute. Okay. Tammy says, the self-sabotage course? Question mark. Where do I find that? Stand by. And I will find the link for you. If you go, I'm going to put the link in here, but if you go to the website and the top menu says courses and then there's bonus courses. Oh my, no, I'm in the bonus courses. Hang on. Pathways. I got too many windows going on here, y'all. Okay, under managing urges is the self-sabotage course. And the link is coming in 3, 2, 1. Here you go. That's the self-sabotage course. Okay. Anonymous says, my scale says I've made my goal of 5 pounds this month. Nice. When I weighed in at the doctor's appointment, same clothes, 20 minutes apart. The scale says I've only lost 4.6 pounds. I'm mad at my scale and upset that I didn't make my goal when I got home. My scale still says I've lost 5.6 pounds this month. Why can't I accept that my scale says I made it? I should be happy, but I'm feeling defeated and leading to fuck it eating now. This is such an interesting question. So, Anonymous, I'm going to share a random, this is going to be a little out there, so bear with me, but a random analogy I made with a client earlier this week who was kind of fixated on the number of the scale. And I was like, okay, think of this as like almost a religious thing where there's this sort of external entity. And we made it weird of like, you know, this like, imagine a pagan person in, not that there's anything wrong with pagan, pagan's great, but just like, anyway, you're worshiping a idol, and this person thinks that like the phase of the moon is telling them that they're good or bad, or you know whatever the weather is telling them, you know, that they did good or bad, and so you're putting your worthiness on something outside of you, and she was like, wow, so like the scale is like this thing that we're worshiping. And I would encourage you to think of it, you know, just again, as a thought experiment. And it's not meant to, you know, get into religion or anything like that, but it's meant to like just kind of zip you out of this for a second of being like, I am putting my faith, my worth in a piece of plastic and metal that sits on the floor, which makes sense. We've done that our whole lives. We were taught that. Weight Watchers, for goodness sakes, taught us you were good or bad based on what the scale said. So it makes sense why you think this. However, you are in charge of your thoughts. You are in charge of your choices. What is the reason why you want to lose weight in the first place? Is it for the 4.6 pounds, the 5.6 pounds? Is that what's going to make you happy? And the answer is none of us want to lose weight for the number on the scale. We want to lose weight for what we think we will feel at a lower weight. We want to lose weight for what we think we will feel in a smaller body. And so you are allowing an external object to tell you how you feel when you could decide that for yourself. Why do you want to lose weight? What do you think you will be able to feel at a smaller weight, at a lower weight, in a smaller body? Many people say, I'll be able to feel healthy. I'll be able to feel confident in my clothes. I'll be able to feel mobility, do the things I want to do. The particular client I was talking to was like, I'll be able to chase my kids around. And I said, okay, great. Can you do that now? Because she has lost about 90 pounds. And she's like, yeah, I can chase my kids around. I was like, awesome. Do you feel comfortable in your clothes? She's like, yeah, most of the time. I'm like, okay. Do you feel strong in your body? She's like, yeah, I mean, not as strong as I want, but like sometimes. The feeling you want to feel, the thing that you want from weight loss is accessible to you. Again, losing weight is an outcome. How you want to feel is an outcome. Get clear. What is the outcome you're solving for? It is not a number. It is how you want to feel. So, everybody who's listening, I would ask you to journal on this. Number one, what do I think I will feel at a lower weight? It can be one word, it can be, a whole paragraph worth of words. And then ask yourself, what is the obstacle standing in the way of me feeling that way? Because for Anonymous, she may want to feel comfortable in her clothes. She may want to feel able to get up and down off the floor with her grandkids. It's Anonymous, I don't know. But like, that's the real metric of success. The scale is a piece of plastic and metal that sits on the floor. It is a tool. Just like a measuring cup measures volume. But if you use the scale to measure how you feel about yourself, that's like using a measuring cup to tell time. It's the wrong tool. Figure out what you want to feel and then look for ways that you can feel that today. All right, definitely a little bit of a rant there. So I appreciate you asking me that, Anonymous. And by the way, also, let's just take a minute to give you a high five for losing somewhere around 5 pounds this week. Excuse me, this month. That's a huge win. Yeah, look for that. Look for your wins. Okay, Geraldine says, I have an issue with buying a snack like a cookie or a chocolate while at the store alone. I feel like no one knows, so it's okay. And then I feel bad and guilty half the time. I'm not even hungry, but I feel like I deserve the treat even though I sabotaged my goal. So, Geraldine, that makes sense. You're not alone. Lots of us do that. And that's kind of diet thinking. I deserve a treat. Why do you deserve a treat? Probably because I've been so good. So here's a tool that can help you kind of sidestep some of that. So when you are at the store by yourself and the cookie or chocolate you want to buy, I want you to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. One is it is not good. It is very vanilla, not great. I could buy it any day of the week. 10 is this is like in France level chocolate or like San Francisco Ghirardelli plant, the home base of Ghirardelli chocolate, super special chocolate. And you just mentioned chocolate, that's why I'm using that example. Cookie, same thing. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where does this cookie or chocolate rate at the store? Is it a 3, 5, 7, 8, whatever? And here's the beauty of it. It is your scale. Nobody else is telling you you're good or bad. No one else is telling you what you should or should not eat. This is what do you want? What is a 10 for you and what is a 1 for you? For you, a 10 might be a Hershey's Kiss. I don't know. Or it might be, again, like the super fancy, chocolate in the, halls of France somewhere. But you get to decide what is it on a scale of 1 to 10, and then is it worth it to you? So you're not cheating. You're not being good or bad. It's like, do I want this? Because it's like a 7, 8, or 9 on my personal scale of 1 to 10. What this does is it shifts you from following rules to making a choice. Let me say that again. It shifts you from following rules to making a choice. So usually that demarcation line between 6 and 7 is about where that's a good kind of barrier between like 6 and below is like, I'm just eating it because it's here, because it's in front of me, because I have this moment where I'm alone and I feel like no one can see me. If it's a 7 or better, it's probably like because it's freaking good. You're really going to enjoy it and you're going to love your reasons. So, Geraldine, I would love for you to send me a note in Facebook and let me know like your thoughts, or even like just reply here in the Q&A and just let me know what your thoughts are on that. Okay. We got Anonymous says, I am having trouble with the thought that I can eat whatever I want as long as I only eat to enough. It feels like I'm just giving myself permission to eat food that is not good for me. Am I understanding that correctly? Well, here's the thing. Lots of fitness and diet gurus want to tell you that food is just fuel. I call BS on that. Corinne calls BS on that. Food is so much more than just fuel. Food is comfort. Food is communion. Food is community. Food is celebration. Food is, a way to share time together. Food is a lot more than just fuel. And so when you talk about, does this just give me permission to eat food that's not good for me? Let me tweak that a little bit. It's giving you permission to choose foods that you love. Just like I was talking to Geraldine a minute ago, I want you to choose foods that are like you're 7, 8, 9, 10, or better. Let's say for you, you're like, I love me some cinnamon rolls. Fantastic. Put that on your plan. Go eat your cinnamon roll. Love the hell out of it. Stop when you're at enough and be like, I love my reasons. Because for me, a cinnamon roll is a 10. Because that's part of life. It's part of enjoying life. And yes, some of the time you're like, you know what? My stomach needs a little bit of a break. I'm going to choose the like club sandwich with the side of broccoli, or I'm going to choose something a little lighter this time because I don't always need to have the cinnamon roll. And so it's about making choices instead of following rules. So Anonymous, I would ask you, what would be the difference for you in terms of making choices instead of following rules, that you can choose the food you want, but make it a 7 or better. Make it an 8. Make it good. Make it worth it. And then stop at enough and see how you feel. Okay, we are going to, okay, Tammy says, thank you for the link real quick. And then we have a reply with Anonymous who lost 5.6 pounds. Oh, if I'm at, oh, God bless you. If I'm at 1.5, sorry, words. If I lose 5.6 pounds, then I'm in Wonderland. That makes sense why it's such a big deal. If I lose 4.6 pounds, then I'm not in Wonderland. I've worked so hard to get here. I want to feel stronger. And yes, I want to be able to keep up with my grandkids. The doctor made me feel bad for being so fat. Trying to contain my words about the doctor. I'm having a minute, right? Anybody else? Like, why do doctors? They have their our best interest at heart most of the time. Okay. Anonymous, I want to acknowledge that even though the difference between 204 and 203 is 1 pound, and the difference between 200 and 199 is 1 pound, and the difference between 197 and 196 is 1 pound. The difference between 200 and 199 feels like more than 1 pound. I acknowledge that. And I also acknowledge that you say the doctor made you feel bad for being so fat. I'm sorry that that happened. And also, what are you making it mean? In other words, is that the story you're telling yourself? Or did the doctor say you are fat? I hope not. But either way, you are in control of your thoughts. And you can say, I've lost every pound up until this one. The same way, 1 pound at a time. Whether I'm at 200 or 199 or 197, 183, etc., it's 1 pound at a time. And so I really, really, really want that scale to say a one instead of a two, and it will. It's simply a matter of time if I focus on, wait for it, my actions, my tangible actions that are within my control, stopping at enough, drinking my water, getting some sleep. Those kinds of things. And the scale will take care of itself. So just want to send you so much love and just hugs. And the scale will take care of itself. Focus on 1 pound at a time through your actions. Cool. All right, let's get Trina on up here and we'll keep on going. Whoa, wait a minute. I did something wrong. There we go. Okay, we got Trina coming. And any other questions you guys have in the Q&A, please send them in. I've been missing the chat. What have you guys been saying in the chat? Yes, with doctors, sometimes they have our best interest at heart, but they don't necessarily have the most compassionate bedside manner. All right, Trina, I thought I brought you up, but let's try this again. Let's see what happens. Sounds like Trina's coming. Maureen, thank you so much for saying that I seem kind and compassionate. You're catching me on a good day. I appreciate that. All right. Hey, Trina, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Coach Lizzie. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Good to be here tonight. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I've lost a lot of weight, and my goal weight was 150, and I got there, and I decided I wanted to lose about 10 more, just so I'd have a 10-pound range, and I
Okay.
got to 145 at one point. And then my doctor changed my Mounjaro from 12.5 to 10, and I've been freaked out about that coming, thinking, what's going to happen? I've gained 2 pounds. And so my thought is, if that's all I gain from that change, I'm good with that. That's not too bad. Now, the hunger, I am more hungry physically. I truly am. But I have learned how to deal with hunger. Hunger is not an emergency. It's no big deal. So anyway, I have been stuck though for a month. I would like to lose 3 pounds, those two and one more this month. And I'd like for you to help me with some action steps to do that.
Okay.
And so, and a thought and some thoughts. And here's where here's where I think I'm messing up. I don't do little check marks and stuff like that. And I don't plan what I eat. And I've never have, and I do great with that, and I'm fine with that. But I think that when you get to this point, you don't get to eat a whole lot, you know? So I think maybe I'm eating a little past. I try to stay like 80%, and I think I'm getting to like 90% because I'm just like, girl, you don't get any food. So, you need to eat a little bit more won't hurt you. But I think it's those little bitty bits that are hurting me because there's nothing else. I don't snack. I have a
Okay.
cutie at night, and that's it. And I just, I'm pretty good with what I do, but I'm
Okay.
stuck. So I'd like to have a plan.
Great. Real quick, what is your brain telling you about like, wow, those little extra bites matter? Does it have an opinion?
Yeah, it's like I know, but you don't get to eat a whole lot. So, it won't kill you. It'll be all right. Just that.
I agree. It won't kill you, but it will potentially lead to the scale going up. What I'm searching for is there part of your brain that's like, but it's not fair? Or you're like, no, it's
Yes,
data.
it is. It is exactly. I
Not
mean,
fair.
I don't snack. I don't emotionally overeat. I do everything pretty right on. So it's not fair that I can't just eat a little bit, just a little bit more than, than satisfied.
I will not argue with you. It is not fair. I
It is
agree.
not fair.
I agree. But it's kind of like gravity. Like it may be reality. So quick story. This past summer was delightful and wonderful in lots of ways for my household and not normal. Very busy, very hectic, and I decided intentionally to indulge in my afternoon cracker snack, which is not a lot, just a couple extra little pita chips here and there.
Yeah.
Kind of more daily rather than, a couple times a week. And I did that for about 7 weeks. And what do you know? Scales up.
I get
And
it.
what do you know? I've not been feeling hunger. And digestion, not super regular. And I can say, what the fuck? It's not fair. They're freaking crackers. Or I can say, okay, I would like to eat crackers and I would like the scale to say something. So it's a choice. I can choose to have crackers on days and I like today. I chose to have crackers today. Like, yep, I like my reasons. Scale may be up tomorrow. I'm good with it. Or I can say, do I really need crackers today? Can I have an apple instead? And just instead, kind of like lower the temperature on the it's not fair talk, because trust me, Trina, I have spent lots of time in the whiny, shitty diaper of it's not fair. But it's kind of like when a baby dirties their pants. It's not fun. It sucks. And you can shake your fist at the universe and be like, why? That doesn't change the fact that we got some dirty pants to clean up. And so your body is saying, when I'm at a lower weight, when I'm closer to 145, 140, a handful of crackers is noticeable. And so Okay, you don't have to like it, but you don't have to argue with it either and just say, all right, this is reality. You know, is this a time of my life? Like for me last summer, where I was like, I'm choosing it and I like my reasons. Had a little bit of emotional eating over the summer and I liked my reasons. I was totally intentional about it and it was okay. Or are you saying it shouldn't be this way? It's not fair.
Yeah, I think I need to write that in my planner every day. Like, do you want to weigh 147 and eat, to where you're eating, or do you want to actually get down to 140 and back off? I think it's a choice. It's my choice. So I think that's what I need to do is but to keep that aware in the front of my mind and make it that.
And I just want to check in with you when you say that, do I want to weigh 147 and make that choice, or do I want to weigh 145 and make that choice? Is that said with just like pretty neutral, it's a choice, or is it said with like, 147 is like shitty and that's a kind of laden with guilt, or it's just
No,
a choice?
it's a choice because I feel good at this weight. I look good to me. I feel good. My clothes fit well. I'm proud of where I am. So I could be good here, but I do want to go down some.
Cool. And I love what you said because you're describing what we talk about in the maintenance course as your happy weight. And so if you think of your happy weight as like a math equation, like on one side of the equal sign is happy weight, equal sign, body size I want plus lifestyle I'm willing to sustain.
Right.
And for me, lifestyle I am willing to sustain includes occasional crackers, includes wine sometimes, and chocolate. I am willing to be, 5 to 10 pounds higher than I technically could be because that's the lifestyle I want to be.
Okay, so maybe I can be willing to eat to 90% full on the weekends and stick to my 80% during the week. And maybe that would be an action step for me this month.
Yeah, you could experiment with that and see, like, okay, here's my goal. 80% full during the week, 90% full on the weekends. What is the outcome I get? Does my weight stay the same? Does it go down? What do I see? And that's your data. And then you can say, all right, I have data. Based on that, I can keep doing what I'm doing. I like the result. Or I could say, all right, now I can tweak. Maybe I want to, adjust a little bit here or there.
Okay, I like that. So I'm going to say this to you because I want it to be on record. What I want to do this month, my action steps, because I agree with you, losing 3 pounds is a result. The action steps are what get us there. So on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I will exercise, even if it's just 10 minutes every day, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm going to write in my planner 5 days a week. I'll give myself 2 off. I will eat to 80% full all during the week, every meal. But on the weekends, if I choose to eat to 90% full, I'm not going to feel guilty about it. And then we'll see where we land on the weight loss.
And so, Trina, I'm pulling up my calendar so that I can check in with you. When would you like me to check in with you on your goals?
Like the end of October or like mid-October?
You tell me. All
Mid-October.
right. Let's see. It looks like the 21st is 3 weeks from now. All
Okay.
right. So I'm putting a reminder. Check in with Trina. Looks like your last name is Atkinson.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I will find you.
Okay.
And I will
I'd
check in
appreciate
on how you did. Great. Accountability for the win. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Trina. And I just also want to give you a high five for all the work you've done. Clearly, like you've gotten down to a goal weight, a maintenance weight, and you're living in maintenance, which is such a win, but also like, okay, now what? And you're doing it. That's amazing.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
You're
it.
so welcome. Yeah, great. Okay. All righty. We will put change to attendee. We got one more hand up. Real quick, Carolyn asks, can I please say that equation again? Yeah. So, imagine an equation. In my middle school teacher days, I'm imagining in my mind like little word bubbles. Happy weight is on one side of the equal sign. To get a happy weight equals body size that I want. You could also say weight, number on the scale that I want, plus lifestyle I am willing to sustain. So if I want a lifestyle that includes pizza on Friday, that's probably going to mean my weight is a little different. And so my happy weight is going to be a little bit higher if I want to include a lifestyle with pizza every Friday. And again, there's you, it's your life. You get to decide how you want to shape it and construct it. So like the lifestyle you want includes the things that matter to you. Okie dokie. We got one more point. We got Geraldine, excuse me. And we'll do one more coaching and we'll finish up with some Q&A and we'll roll from here. All right. Thanks, Carolyn. Okay, maybe I'm not doing this right. Oh, Geraldine has declined. Okay. Well, that gives me a chance to do some Q&As. Speaking of which, Geraldine has said in the Q&A, I'm watching while on the treadmill. Love that. Way to multitask. Couldn't balance the response. So I bought one, not the whole box was an improvement, but I just want to be able to get into the store. Okay, so this is Geraldine was talking about the cookie. So she thought that one rather than just the whole box was an improvement. Rating the food would benefit her. I'm a prior sleeve PT. I'm guessing that means gastric sleeve, down 100 pounds. Wow. Gained 25 back, but lost them, but wanted to get another 30, but fluctuate back and forth. I think it's more mindless purchase than I get. Got it. So again, thank you for writing this in, Geraldine. And I would encourage you to think about, like, visualize, literally, visualize yourself in the parking lot of the store. And before you get out of the car, like do this in the morning when you're having coffee at a time when you're not stressed out, you're not triggered, you're not like, I just need the cookie because no one can see. Imagine, close your eyes and imagine I'm sitting in the parking lot of the store and I want to go in because that's what I always do. And I'm asking myself, okay, this thing that I'm going to go get on a scale of 1 to 10, where does it rate? Is it a 5? A 7? Is it special? Is it worth it? Do I like my reasons? And Geraldine, any answer is okay. That's the beauty of being a no BS woman, is you get to decide what you want for your life. I don't want you to follow rules. I want you to make choices. Okay. Kelsey says, I'm really wanting to eat good foods while under stress and have little or no desire to plan better or best foods. How do I get back to doing better best foods while feeling this way? Okay. Well, first of all, let's address the root cause. You're under stress. And so that's why you want good foods. That's why you don't want better best foods. You want to feel comforted. There's a reason why it's called comfort foods. So address the stress. Number one, what is it that's having you feel stress? Is it an external situation? Is it the story you're telling yourself? A lot of times, if you ask, if you're into journaling, these three questions can really help you examine if the stress is sort of self-created or if it's a legitimate thing like someone's in the hospital. So number one, what's the story I'm telling myself about this situation? What am I making that mean? And then what am I afraid of? So hypothetically, here's one of my favorites, person like Lizzie's, greatest hits of stressful thoughts. What's the story I'm telling myself? I screwed up at work and it's the worst. What am I making that mean? Oh, I'm definitely getting fired. What am I afraid of? I am afraid that I'm not good enough. Like, if we boil it down, as you can tell, I've done these before, right? I'm very familiar with those three. And so, if I can look at that and be like, oh, this is my story of not good enough. This is very familiar. Now, again, I've done a lot of work on this. So I can say, oh, this is just that same old story. We know how to address this. Is that screw up life threatening? Probably not. Am I going to lose my job? Probably not. But if I did, let's answer that question. What would I do? A, B, C, and D. And then what am I afraid of that I'm not good enough? Then I answer that question like, who decides? Who decides if I am enough? Me. Who decides if you're enough? It's not your boss. It's not your spouse. It's not your mom. It's you. That is a whole nother coaching session. We can do like a whole hour on that. So anyway, Kelsey, I would love for you to write in to ask coaches about what is creating the stress for you. So for right now, the eating the good foods is the symptom. It's not the cause. And so let's address the cause, which is the stress. Okay. Anne says, thank you for your focus on action. What is the best way to visualize this as doable? I lost 2 pounds last month. Nice. Wanting to lose 4 pounds this month. Okay, fantastic. So, Anne, I would love for you to reflect on last month. You lost 2 pounds. If you have data, amazing. Look at your data. If you don't have data, that's okay. Like, think back and be like, all right, what do I think it was? What was the action that helped me be successful in losing 2 pounds last month? And I'm going to guess you were not 100% perfectly consistent with that action. And that's the best news because that tells you you can still lose weight without being perfect. Let me say that again, everybody. You can still lose weight without being perfect. Here's what consistency means. A lot of people think that consistency means I do the same thing every day. That is not what consistency means. Consistency is meeting the day with the energy you have. So your best is going to look different on different days. For example, you slept great last night. Your best tomorrow is going to look pretty good. Next day, the dog was up in the night with diarrhea. You were up for an hour and a half. You feel a little wrecked. Your best is going to look different on the next day. And so consistency is not doing the same thing every single day. Consistency is saying, what have I got today? What does my best look like today? And what can I do is just something. What is the something I can do today? So you're staying in the game. You're not stuck in that all or nothing thinking of like, well, I didn't do it perfectly, so I might as well quit. And this is very pertinent to me as I have had two dogs lately with cones on their heads, and they wake up in the night and they move around and they make sound. So I wake up, and so I'm tired and I'm not getting the rest. And so every morning I'm like, I'm supposed to work out. Ugh. And here's what I tell myself. Your day just goes better when you just do something. And so my workouts have not been amazing, but I've just done something. So your consistency is like meeting the day with the energy you've got. All right, everyone, thank you for being with me tonight. Let's not lose. How do I want to say this? Let's focus on the actions that will lose 1 pound this week, and then we will see what the scale does takes care of itself. And by the end of the month, we may end up losing 5 pounds. But for now, I want you to focus on what's in your control, including your mindset. Put your hands on the wheel of your brain. Steer that sucker. No ditches for you. I'm so appreciative that you guys were here tonight. Thank you so much for being with me. Have a great rest of your evening and mwah, 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 mwah. Let's see if Zoom will give me some hearts. Will it? Look at that. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a good night.